Sometimes my kids say that I'm starting to lose my memory, but I feel pretty good when I can get up and make five different announcements without notes in front of me, so I think I'm hopefully doing okay. You may have, at some point in time, seen a t-shirt or a bumper sticker that has two words on it that just really summarize a mindset in our culture today. Those two words, question, authority. We don't like authority very much. In fact, there's a lot of us that just kind of enjoy for no other reason to just buck the system. We challenge those in authority over us. Back when I was a lot younger in the 1980s, John Cougar Mellencamp had a song that said, "I fight authority." But he concluded in the song, "Authority always wins." Throughout the Bible, rather than fight authority, Christians have been encouraged to have respect for it. There are five different authorities in the Bible that I can think of where we're told to respect. There's divine authority. That's talking about God's authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So we're to respect the Lord's authority. There's civil authority. That means governmental authorities. Paul talked about this in Romans chapter 13, and he went into great detail about how we're to respect those who are placed in a position of authority over us in terms of the government. Hebrews 13 talks about church authority and says, hey, we've placed leaders in the church for reasons, and you're to respect their authority in your lives. And then there's two others, and we find them both in this text that we're going to end with in Ephesians today. They're vocational authority and parental authority. Before I get into those, though, I feel compelled to talk about what I just think is a new and dangerous disrespect for authority that's just swept across our nation in the past couple of months. It's how we respond to United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, otherwise known as ICE. This sector of our nation's law enforcement's being attacked and criticized in a way that I think's probably not good for our country, but more so for us as Christians. Bad for our Christian psyche, as we have this tendency to want to jump on the bandwagon that's showing great disrespect to an established civic authority. Now, before I say much about this, it's important to say this. I'm not making a statement about our current presidential administration. This is not my personal opinion on immigration. It's just merely an observation about how we as a nation ought to show respect to law enforcement officials that are authorized by our country's constitution and who have historically worked in very dangerous situations to protect us. In most areas of society or job performance, whether it's law enforcement, the education system, even the clergy, there are people who have abused their authority, and when that happens, they ought to be investigated appropriately, and if found guilty, judged fairly or punished fairly. For the most part, that's true of ICE as well. Most of them are good, hardworking, honest, decent people, and there might be a couple bad ones out there too. But as a group, we ought to show respect for them. Yet all across our country, even in our local neighborhoods here, we're starting to show these persons a great level of disrespect. The school where my kids go, they had a planned or organized walkout where they left school to protest ICE officials. And then the local newspapers and radio stations got on that bandwagon just praising and supporting this type of disrespect. I suspect the motivation behind this is largely political, but in choosing this law enforcement group to make a political statement, I think our children are learning to take this concept of questioning authority to a really dangerous level, and something that's really contrary to what we ought to be doing as Christians based on what the Bible teaches on respect for authority. We live in a really unique country, and we ought to be blessed, feel blessed by that, whereas if we disagree with a policy or a political leader, we can protest that leader openly. Every so often, we have the opportunity to vote those people in or out of office and participate in that system, good and healthy. But let's not encourage people, and especially children, to show disrespect to law enforcement officials, all right? Well, get into our text in Ephesians, we come to two areas where respect is required from the Christian. These two areas we find in the passage are to have respect for parents and respect for employers. They're found in Ephesians chapter 6. If you haven't opened that, I encourage you to open the Bibles and follow along with me. The first verses tell us to obey our parents. Look at verses 1 through 3. When a child leaves during this part, I get worried. Just teasing it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on earth. All right, so who's to obey their parents? Children. Okay, easiest question of the day. As we grow older, though, and as we leave home, get married, it doesn't change this concept of honoring and respecting our parents. Because parents still continue to have their authority throughout their lives, although it diminishes and it changes a little bit. The Bible says there are four different occasions. The Bible says on four different occasions that a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, the two shall become one flesh. So as part of that growing process, we leave home, we leave mom and dad. But please notice, from that point on, we're not to discard the respect or appreciation for our parents. I really want to emphasize that today because there's not so many teens or children as there are adults who have older parents. In fact, if your parents have lived a consistent Christian life and have taught you as children the value of God's word, then as we grow into a man or a woman, as we look older, we can look to our parents for continued advice, godly advice, input, guidance, because they do have a few more years of experience on us still. One would be foolish, really, not to, if the parents' lives have merited respect. And older children who are living under the roof of their parents, realize you're still got some responsibility there. You have to play by their rules as long as their expectations are fair and honoring to God. The expectation to honor your parents doesn't change with age. I'm 62 years old. I know you've wondered about this for a while. And I know for a fact my mom still worries about me daily. I'm guessing if you were my mom, you probably would too. But it's just that motherly instinct, right, to protect their children. It never goes away. So that respect that a child has for his parent ought to last for a lifetime. All right, next question. When are you to obey? The Bible says always, with one exception. If you are asked to do something that goes against God's word, if you're asked to do something that goes contrary to God's will, if you're asked to be supportive or honor something that God says is not, that we're not to support or honor, then don't do it, right? God doesn't want you to do something that's contrary to Christian behavior, even if your parents want you to do that. And that's why there's a qualifier that goes with this command. It simply says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that's a qualifier. It's right on the heels of the command for a purpose. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew there would be some parents who would not be godly and who wouldn't raise their children with spiritual values. And at times there'd even be Christian or even be parents who would ask their children to do things that were absolutely contrary to God's word. So young people, if you're encouraged to compromise your morals, if they want you to, you know, do something that God just plainly says, don't do it. I think we have a past there. I think we get to say no. I think there's a higher authority we ultimately all answer to. Right? There's a problem sometimes with this whole idea of parents and children, though, and that's that some of us become adults and we kind of remain in bondage to our parents. Right? Let me explain. You're in bondage to your parents because of things that really don't fall into the category of in the Lord. Sometimes people have parents who have manipulated them, kind of in a sense held them hostage to their parental authority at the expense of your own families. So please make certain that you try and match up God's wisdom with your respective parents. When you do something for your parents, or you're asked to do something for your parents, ask yourself, how does this align with the Spirit of Christ? Am I doing this out of guilt or out of gratitude? Am I doing this out of duty or am I doing this out of devotion and true love? And young people, not a lot of you here today, there's a couple of you online, I think, and you can bet this will show up on Facebook and YouTube later as a small clip. Make sure that you always obey all the time when it's in the Lord. Here's a good reason for it. If you're rebellious, if you're a child who rebels and doesn't obey, you lose credibility to disobey when you're asked to do something not in the Lord. If you obey on a regular basis, if you show a submissive spirit, then something comes up that's not in accordance with God's will and you say, I just can't do that. Then you've made a statement and you've stood on a principle and that's aligned with your life of obedience. It carries weight because you've been an obedient child. But if you're not an obedient child, you don't have that ground to stand on anymore. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That this is right simply means it's God's will that you obey your parents. Let me give this challenge to youth and teenagers here this morning. I want you to notice this passage does not tell you to obey your parents if they're perfect. This passage does not tell you to obey your parents if they've ever blown it. It makes no exception for parents who struggle with the role of leadership and being a mom or dad. It simply says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And when you rebel, you're rebelling against authority that God has established. Your peers may ridicule adults. The government at times tries to remove some of the parental authority and claim it as their own. But if you are a Christian, trying to have an attitude like Jesus, you will be respectful and obedient to your parents. Doesn't mean you'll agree with every decision. I certainly didn't, and I know my children do not. No child agrees with every decision of their parents. But you obey because it's in the Lord and it ultimately honors God. I think one of the reasons God established parental authority is so children can learn authority and learn how to respect God. So don't take advantage of them. Don't see it as your calling to make your parents miserable. Instead, choose to be a Christian who's distinctive. Luke chapter 2:51 says that Jesus was obedient to his parents. Imagine the God of this universe living here, obedient to his earthly mom. Pretty good example to follow. Let me tell you what God's plan is. God's plan for discipline in the home is kind of like an inverted pyramid. It starts off when they're very young and they have very little freedom down at the bottom of this. There's this constant teaching, constant repeating and reinforcing of rules and expectations and disciplining and encouraging. And you know what? There's a lot of rules when you're young. But as they grow and mature and they move their way up to this pyramid, they're given more responsibility as they begin to prove themselves faithful. They're given more freedom as they begin to show themselves faithful. You might call it progressive permissiveness. They even keep maturing until they reach adulthood, and then they have all the freedom they need because they've learned by that time to handle it. You know, when I was in high school, I used to have a curfew. Even when I was 17 years old, I remember on the weekends, the people I hung out with could stay out as long as they wanted, pretty much. I had a midnight curfew. My friend's parents, they didn't really care enough to set up any type of boundaries, and they would give me a hard time. Man, Green, I can't believe it. You got to be in by midnight. You got to be in. Unbelievable. My parents couldn't care less. And probably wasn't a more true statement. I didn't like it, but I understood it, and I respected it. When I was in high school, I attended a church that was a lot more conservative than our church. They had rules that they were well meant, but they just weren't found in the Bible. Like you could never play cards, and you couldn't play dice, and you shouldn't even go to school dances. And my parents tried to reinforce that because we were very active in the church, so they frowned on school dances, And I didn't necessarily like that. I respected their decision, though. But it was difficult. Not going to school dances was difficult for me to accept. For one reason, I was fairly active. I had a lot of friends in the school, and to stay home just didn't feel right. The second was, when I was growing up, I was living during the time when the movie Saturday Night Fever was big news. And to make matters worse, at that time in my life, I bore an astonishing resemblance to John Travolta. I'm sure you can see that. Astonishing. So although I didn't always agree with my parents, I learned from them to respect authority. Deep down somewhere, I knew that they were trying to do what was best for me. I knew the boundaries were put there for a reason, beyond just them wanting to make rules, even though I didn't always admit it when I was a teenager. They were showing true concern for me. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through 11 say, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. The 11th verse is important. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But it will produce a harvest of blessing and righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. A minister friend of mine told me about a time when his 14-year-old daughter was going to go to a church lock-in following the high school football game. She had prearranged a ride with someone the family knew well. He was 18 years old. He was respected by them. They had a lot of confidence in him. But instead, she left the game afterwards with someone who was 16 years old, just got his license. She was about an hour late to the lock-in, and when her father found out about it, he went to the church, picked her up, took her home, said, you can't stay at the lock-in, because he was really upset and worried about what could have happened and the fact that she didn't even ask to do this. She just changed the plans. His 14-year-old daughter objected. She said, but Dad, you don't have to worry. God's going to watch out for me. And he said, he is looking out for you through me, right? So we got to young people, trust your parents. Don't second guess every decision they make. Obey them and respect them, because you'll never know how much they love you until you have children of your own, probably. But then Paul goes on to give another respect for authority we ought to have, and that is to our employers. He says, employees, obey your employers. It's probably not what you read in your Bible. We'll get to that in a second. Look at verses 5 to 8. Slaves, obey your earthly parents with respect. Obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes upon you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. Okay, Randy, why did you entitle this part, Employees Obey Your Employers? What's this passage have to do with work? It sounds like slavery to me. Well, depending on what you think of your job, you might think of slavery as a realistic comparison. According to Princeton Management Association, 82% of Americans say they hate their jobs. I doubt that's that high in the Christian community or the Christian circle of people, but it's a pretty high number in our country. And it's important to our understanding today to note that slavery was a lot different back in Bible times than we think of it today. You know, back then for many of the slaves, they had sold themselves into slavery in order to pay back an indebtedness. It wasn't like they were captured and forcibly taken into slavery. It was possible for some people to regain their freedom even. So there is this valid application for today's work environment. Because a slave was to be in submission to their master, how much more, when we work for our own free will and receive a paycheck, can we find a way to bring honor and glory to Jesus? I want you to consider how we serve our bosses. First way would be respectfully. You might not agree with their lifestyles. You might not respect their principles, but you must respect their position. You work for them. And through your attitude and your respect and your teamwork, and you can influence them for Jesus Christ. You can set the example. You can make a difference even for your boss in the workplace by the way you behave. Maybe you heard about the girl that worked behind the counter at McDonald's. 6'8" Texan comes in. He walks up, he pounds his fist down on the counter and says, "I want half of a Big Mac." She said, "I'm sorry?" He said, "I want half of a Big Mac." She didn't know what to do. She said, "Just a minute." She turned around, walked back. She was going to her manager, and she didn't realize this guy was following her, but he followed her back. And she goes to her manager, "Hey, there's this guy out there who looks like a big goofball, dumber than an ox, and he wants to buy half a Big Mac." Then she looked back and saw him there, and she goes, "And this gentleman would like to buy the other half." If you talk behind people's backs, it'll catch up with you at some point, okay? Act respectfully. Also act fearfully. There should be a respect for those who are your superiors. Not a trembling, but an acknowledgement that they're in charge. They can make a difference in your lives. Don't ridicule or undermine their authority behind their back. Realize that you are their servant in this environment. While your input may or may not be of interest to them, they're the ones who've been entrusted with making decisions. A third area is to serve sincerely. On a regular basis, I just thank God that my primary task is to work here in an environment that gives me such momentum to be sincere in my efforts. I love this work. I love working for the church. I love working for the Lord. I love studying and preparing and trying just to be helpful to people. But we don't all have that luxury. I get it. Some of you probably work for individuals who are pretty unreal in their expectations, unfair in their treatment of you. I know folks who are mocked for their faith in their work environment, and it's difficult in those cases to serve sincerely. And yet the challenge is to separate your work from working for an earthly master and see it as something bigger than that. Remember that no matter where you work, you're working for the Lord. This is a service I'm providing to help people, but I'm doing it to God. Willingness is the fourth category or characteristic. Every employer looks for employees that are willing to do a little bit extra. I've never seen this ad in the paper. Wanted, a mediocre worker who just wants to get by. Right? I love the Message paraphrase of this passage of scripture. Here's how Eugene Peterson translates this. "Servants respectfully obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. And don't just do it when you have to get by and when their eye is upon you, but work heartedly as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving orders, you're really serving God." Brings us to the fifth category, which is wholeheartedly. Serve joyfully, not brooding or complaining. View your job as an opportunity to meet the needs of someone else, whether it's a boss or a customer or a board. I love this passage in Titus chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, "Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted." Now listen to this. "So that every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive." When you are working, if they know you are a believer, you are making a statement about who Jesus Christ is by your work ethic. You see, through your respect, and through your sincerity, and through your wholehearted willingness to serve, you can enhance people's opinion of Jesus Christ. The way you work can enhance people's opinion about his church. And people can say, there's something different. Or back to week one, there's something distinctive about this person. Kind of like it. Ephesians 6 verse 8 says, "If you obey your employer, you're going to receive a couple of benefits. One, you'll win favor in the boss's eyes. That's always a good thing. And two, you'll receive a reward from the Lord." The passage concludes with a challenge to people who are in authority, who have folks working beneath them. It says this in verse 9, "Masters, treat your slaves the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. and there's no favoritism with him. So if you're a boss, if you have folks who answer to you, be fair. Be realistic in your expectations and be generous to the point you can be. Remember the big picture. You have a master too. All of us someday will have to give an account to him. Life is not divided up like a Time magazine where there's a religious section and a business section and an entertainment section. It's not like that. It's all to be a spiritual expression of our beliefs. And God evaluates your performance as work as part of the big picture of who you are and as part of your witness and part of your worship. And respecting authority doesn't always come easy, whether it's a child obeying parents or working obeying a boss. But seeing both of those responsibilities as an honor and a higher authority will win us favor with men and God both. I think it prepares us for the privilege of accepting the authority of Jesus in our life someday. You recall back in the Gospels, Jesus had been arrested, he'd been scourged, he'd been beaten, and now he's standing in front of Governor Pilate. And Pilate was under the impression that he was the highest official in the land. Pilate had a pretty high view of himself. And then in John chapter 19, verse 10, Pontius Pilate, the governor, gets right up in Jesus' face and he says, "Don't you realize that I have the power to save you or to crucify you?" And Jesus looked right back at Pilate, bloodied and beaten, and says, "You have no power given you except what's been given you from above." And essentially what Jesus was saying, "Pilate, make no mistake about this. You are not taking my life. I'm giving it." And there's a huge difference. Jesus Christ was the perfect example of respecting and honoring a leader, but submitting to a higher authority. Not only did Christ show his love and his obedience at Calvary, he showed his power and authority by the empty tomb. And what really matters is this: are you willing to respect his authority and be obedient to him and to choose to be his servant and to accept him as your Savior? Are you willing to be humbly baptized into a watery grave and have your sins taken away and to say, "I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior, and I want to be your servant"? Are you willing to say, "Lord, I want to be part of your church. I want to be part of this fellowship of believers. I want to commit to it, and I want to be used of you here and to be a person that influences others in this world for Jesus"? He's the ultimate authority. Have you submitted to him?